Hey everybody, what is up? Beers with Chad number 5 coming your way today. So this is our special kind of bonus episode of the Jug Life, where I talk about whatever interests me to talk about, and I drink beer while I do it. So today's beer, Stone Brewing Company from San Diego, Inevitable Adventure Double IPA. This is a limited edition one for them. Got a little story about it back here. Dr. Rudy. And, Dr. Rudy and Laurel hops. So, pretty tasty so far. So, we just got back from New York. Cheers. I know for the people who just listen to this as, got some foam in the beard there, who just listen to this as a audio podcast, they've told me that it's very odd for them when I take drinks of the beer because they think that the audio is cut out or something like that. So maybe I need to start giving a forewarning before I get into that. So we just got back from New York and New Jersey, got a number of podcasts done over there. If you listen today to our episode with Joe DeFranco, we also recorded with Mike Guidango, who's a strength coach there, was kind of a longtime DeFranco disciple, you know, an athlete of his, and then a coach for him, and now has his own place, as well as Zach Evanesh down there on the Jersey Shore. And I think three really great episodes right there. I'm going to talk some more about Joe's particularly, but touch on what we talked about with kind of all three guys, and then also did two Jug Life Live events, one at JDI Barbell, so thank you very much to Jesse for hosting us there, and then on to Outlift Athletics on Long Island, and got to do a little squat clinic, and then Jug Life Live there, and Jug Life Live really is just it's this, more or less. It's a clinic, and then we give, you know, the small lecture, you know, kind of informal lecture about training, and do a Q&A with the attendees. So it's technically more filmed in front of a live studio audience than it is actually shown live, but a good time. And Outlift Athletics was a phenomenal facility. Mike Smith, the owner, they have everything that essentially a commercial gym would have, as well as a well-equipped powerlifting gym. So if you are in the Long Island area, the New York area, go check them out. Long Island, Outlift Athletics, Outlift Athletics in East Sauticet, something like that, Long Island, really phenomenal facility. And thanks to Walker Bradshaw, one of my athletes, for helping set that up. So, you know, the trip was a lot of fun. It was me, Max, and Shorty out there. The only negative to it really would be that the traffic in New York was brutal. You know, like almost 2 hours to go 20 miles coming back from Jersey back into Queens. We stayed in Jamaica, Queens, which I'm not sure why I didn't catch on when I saw the price of the Airbnb and that it was like a pretty nice looking place, that maybe the area wasn't the best. I felt like we were in Coming to America for a little bit, but still a fun time nonetheless, and then got to hang out there a couple extra days with my brother, his wife, and my little nephew Calvin in Brooklyn, so that was always fun. You know, I think one of my personal favorite podcasts, without a doubt, was this one with Joe DeFranco, because Joe DeFranco was such a tremendous influence on me as a young coach, such a tremendous influence on the start, the creation of Juggernaut. And if you've listened to the podcast, the episode of the Jug Life already, you'll hear me talk, you know, mention it briefly. That I'm not one who really goes for motivation, inspirational type of stuff. But if I was to say that someone was a great inspiration to me in creating Juggernaut, he would certainly be the one that I would point to above all else. and we talk about this in the podcast, but I'll give you maybe a bit more information about it. So I began coaching myself or writing my own training program when I was 14 years old. So that would have been in, like 2000. So pretty much my freshman year of high school, I started writing my own program. And I probably stumbled upon Joe in about 2005, maybe 2006. So my sophomore, end of my freshman year of college, beginning of my sophomore year, that summer, when I was back, I went to University of California, Berkeley on a shot put scholarship, and I was back that summer, and that was my first true coaching experience. I was running the off-season program for my high school, University High School in Irvine, California, running the off-season program for them, the summer conditioning program. I was just turned 19 years old that summer and got to... I just saw a comment from one of those players, Drew Robertson. What would WWCSD, what would Coach Smith do? That's, I think, always good words to live by for those young guys. And I think that was about the first time that I discovered DeFranco's website, about 2006, and saw his YouTube videos and started reading his articles and everything. And, really... for lack of a better term, fell in love with what he was doing, with the attitude that they brought to things, and with the information that he was sharing. So I definitely used a lot of that information, particularly West Side for Skinny Bastards template in the coaching of these high school football guys, because the next year I left Berkeley and transferred down to a junior college here in Southern California. And began coaching football full-time while attending school. So I had 1 year at junior college where I didn't compete in track and field, but I coached football, I coached track, I ran the off-season for football, and started to implement more and more of his ideas. Another article that was highly influential on me at the time was an article by Joe Ken, who's now the Carolina Panthers strength coach. I believe he was with Arizona State at the time, and it was called Max Effort Training for the Front Seven. So that combined with the West Side for Skinny Bastards 1 and West Side for Skinny Bastards 2 really, comprised the basis of what we were doing with our training for the team. And then as I got back into track and field in late 2007, my fourth year of college, I started to implement a lot of that with my own training and, made adjustments to it. And that's probably a discussion for another day, but you can check out my articles about train like a thrower or training for throwers, part 1, 2, and 3, as well as if you were to Google Chad Smith and Bonderchuk, you'll kind of see how I implemented that and how, I probably would have changed things looking back, but the gist of it was that Joe was a huge influence on what I was doing. And as I got into my senior year of college, I knew that what he did is what I wanted to do, that I wanted to coach athletes, that I wanted to, train football players and do all this stuff and not just help people get strong, but also, really be able to impact their life on a greater level, because that's what training did for me, and it opened all these other doors, even as a high school student, by just training really hard, which helped me become a successful football player and a successful shot putter, go to a much better school than I probably would have gone to otherwise, certainly better than my grades would have indicated in UC Berkeley. So that summer going into my senior year of college, the summer of 2008. At this point, anything that Joe wrote, I was reading it the day it came out. Every video, YouTube was much more in its infancy. I was getting those notifications and just really pumped about everything he had to say. So that summer, I was visiting my brother who lived in New York City, and one of the days while he was at work, I had the opportunity to go and rent a car, which, mind you, I was 21 years old, so I had to pay all these extra fees for a car rental because I was under 25. So it was like a $400 car rental for 24 hours, more or less, and drove out to New Jersey and made a YouTube video of it, a vlog, I suppose, though I don't know in 2008 if that was even really a thing. And you can still find that, I think, on the Juggernaut YouTube channel called My Trip to DeFranco's. Unfortunately, it had some audio copyright violation, so I don't know now if it's just silent or if it has some shitty song that YouTube put over it. But every part of this process was this kind of religious pilgrimage to me to go and to what I felt was like the Mecca at that time, and to get to train with Joe, just me and him. And it was crazy, you know, hearing him give his perspective on this story, you know, something that he remembers me coming out there to train, but also, you know, just how the landscape of fitness and online fitness particularly has changed, how YouTube was very much in its infancy, how, you know, Instagram didn't exist and anything like that. But to me, DeFranco's was huge. It was the biggest thing, you know, despite being in like a warehouse in, I think, Wyckoff, New Jersey at the time, that he was this larger than life figure, and the gym and the people who trained there were larger than life to me. And I got to be a part of that for the day. And, you know, I think what was so excellent about it is that Joe took the time to just talk to me and you know, answer all the questions I had, and I'm, you know, hugely appreciative of that. And I got to see it all in action and see how, you know, he really did things. And without a doubt, that trip solidified for me that is what I wanted to do. And that spark created there is certainly what began Juggernaut. So, you know, I said it to Joe probably 10 times while we were podcasting this weekend, but how thankful I am for him there. And like I was saying, it was so crazy to see the landscape change. You know, 2008 was 10 years ago. That's not that long ago. But in the scale of the fitness industry and everything there is so different. You know, where he really started his YouTube channel more or less by accident, by chance, by, you know, his athletes asking him to take a video because their friends at school wouldn't believe that they had benched this much or they had jumped on this or that high of a box. But so it wasn't this calculated, produced effort to be a YouTuber per se, and in a lot of ways, looking back at that was so refreshing, because being a YouTuber wasn't a thing, and Instagram wasn't there. The ability to generate maybe a false sense of expertise was not there either. You had to do it with, you know, results, with information. And, you know, I do think that the information being put out then, it didn't have to be nearly as evolved or intricate. I joke, you know, Joe probably could have written an article in 2003 or 4 that was called, like, "This is a box jump," and my mind would have been fucking blown at the time, where if you want to create that now, it's a much different thing. But, you know, he just was able to put his results out there through these videos and it grow his business. And this was reiterated to me in also our time we got to spend with Zach Evanesh, another person who was hugely influential on me as a young coach in my own training during that time, you know, where I had printed out his articles from his website or from Elite FTS, you know, and highlighted them and written notes on them, you know, and as Joe was talking about some of his training in the beginning, and the same thing with Zach, you know, they're mentioning these videos or these articles. And I was like, yes, yes. Like I read that. I love that article. I love that. I remember that video, you know, knowing the names of some of these like high school athletes that they were referencing in the videos and stuff. I was like, oh yeah, Curls, Pascal. I remember that dude at Zach Evanesh's. And, you know, it was just some high school athlete. And, you know, Joe's starting in a 500 square foot storage closet. Zach's starting to train people out of his parents' garage and their backyard, as he also, you know, was a school teacher. And to see them, you know, organically grow, locally grow, you know, not like locally grown organic foods, but locally grow their business and their name and share what they did with the world through the much more primitive at the time, YouTube and blogging and all that kind of stuff. It was crazy to look back at and see how far things have come in the last 10 years, you know, since I really got more exposure to what those guys are doing, maybe 12, 13 years that I'd really followed along with them. And in some ways, the changes that have been made in the last 10, 12, 13 years are fantastic. There's much higher quality information. There's a lot more sources, you know, of diverse information. There's, you know, whether it's people sharing their opinions about the same fields, or it's information about, you know, lifting and nutrition and you know, movement, mobility and technique and all these different things. There's so many more people involved in it. You know, when I started Juggernaut in 2009, or when I started powerlifting in 2010, we were not a powerlifting company and we were not a powerlifting gym. We were a sport performance gym. And not only were we that because that's what I was interested in doing, but it was also, we were that out of necessity, because there's no way that 2009, 2010 market could have supported a powerlifting gym. And the sports have grown a ton, and that's great. But in some ways too, it was, you know, kind of frustrating and disheartening to see that the way that those guys, two of the best people to be involved in this, two of the best to do it, the way that they grew and were, you know, and created their business and their brand, I don't know if it would be possible today to go, you know, from the storage closet and the parents' garage and training in the backyard, lifting rocks and lifting, you know, kegs and all this stuff and just killing the basics. I don't know if that would be, you know, sexy enough or cool enough for them to grow their brand now the same way that it did then. And I think it goes some to the consumer and it goes some to the athlete that is as great as nice equipment is and all that kind of stuff. For me to hear people like complain that or make excuses about not being able to make as good of training because they don't have calibrated plates or a specialty bar, you know, a specialty squat bar or something like that, is when I look back at what those guys were doing, you know, and the way that I was training then, it's just like, you know, come on people, like what are we doing here? But more than anything, it was a very invigorating trip for me, and, you know, motivational, inspirational, whatever you want to say, in terms of remembering, you know, it's easy to lose sight of 10 years ago and the place I was in 10 years ago as I entered my senior year of college and was, you know, so awestruck in a lot of ways to go and visit with these guys and talk with them, and how appreciative I was then and am now looking back at the time that they decided to share with me and their expertise, and that I need to be very mindful to do that with anyone who approaches me with similar type of questions. Something that kind of we talk about in the upcoming episode with Mike Guadango as well, is that, you know, he went off for this internship at the University of Pittsburgh after, you know, he'd been working some for Joe, and he went to the University of Pittsburgh and took an internship with Buddy Morris and James Smith, two phenomenal coaches. And James and has had a particularly profound impact on Mike, as he did with me, and actually kind of created a shift in thinking from a lot of concepts that were introduced to me by Joe and by, you know, Elite FTS articles and West Side Barbell articles to a different type of training, but we'll talk about that more in the episode with Mike. But what stood out to me in talking to Mike about it was that, you know, he was sleeping on an air mattress in a spare room so he could be at the Pitt football, you know, the weight room facility for 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours a day, you know, to work for free all that many hours to just absorb this information, that he had to make a lot of sacrifice. And in doing clinics and seminars and all that, and I've probably done, oh, some 200-ish clinics in the past 5 years, going on 6 years that I've been doing a lot of those. And I've had some great experiences there, and you know, this isn't to paint with a broad brush, but there have been clearly people who sacrificed something to be there, whether that's time, whether that's, you know, driving 10 hours or flying, you know, across the country and or flying from other countries in some cases. I've also had experiences where people are messaging me, you know, while I'm doing a clinic in Orange County, complaining about that I'm not doing it in, you know, North LA County, maybe 40 or 50 miles away. Because if people, you know, if you really care about what you're doing and you really are passionate about learning more and about becoming a great coach, you know, you're going to make the sacrifice. When I was 22 years old, and Joe and I mentioned this in the podcast as well, I had also set it up to where I was going to go and train there with his combine group for a week. And I ended up having to forego that because of an injury, which I didn't feel was going to make it, you know, worth the financial sacrifice to go do that. But yeah, my parents gave me a plane ticket to New York for Christmas that year. That was my Christmas present, the whole thing. And then I was going to spend $1,000 of my own money for the training and hotel and everything that week. And, you know, as a then 22-year-old college student, high school football coach, $1,000 of my own money was about, you know, a third of what I was going to make for 4 months of high school football coaching. Like, it was an extremely big financial sacrifice to me. And as I got into coaching and went to more clinics and all that stuff, I had to make similar sacrifices to that, sacrifices of time and all that kind of stuff. So I just implore you, you know, if you're listening, you're young, you're passionate about coaching, that if you've, you know, if you have the opportunity to learn from people that you respect, then, you know, do what needs to be done to get there, to listen to them, to talk to them, to almost annoy them with questions, if that's what you need to do. My coach in high school, Len Blutrick, who was a fantastic coach, his son is the throws coach now at Arizona State University. He also was an Olympian. So my coach Len had coached his son Brian to, you know, California State records in the shot put and discus. So I had a great opportunity there. But Coach Blue was a college coach. I worked with him twice a week. Very rarely was able to be at my meets because he was at the college meets. And I still handled all my own lifting and everything. And the way that I was able to do that was every track meet I was at, you know, I found the good coaches. And this is when I was 15, 16, 17 years old. And I would pester them with questions. You know, Tony Chiarelli, Bill Pendleton, guys who I'm extremely grateful for. And it's crazy to me now at this point in my life that they come to me with questions. But, you know, any opportunity you had, whether I had to stay, you know, if they would talk to me for an hour after the meet about how to train, I was going to stay for an hour after the meet. If I had to pay to go to one of their clinics, I was going to do that. College coaches, you know, at the bigger meets I went to, the same thing. Take advantage of every opportunity you have to learn. If it means financial sacrifice, time sacrifice, you know, energy sacrifice on your part, do that. If you're really passionate about doing this successfully, you'll make it work. You can look to someone like Zach Evanesh. You know, if you want to have your own gym, and you see these great, you know, big shiny gyms, you know, Zoo Culture, Barbell Brigade, the Scion gym that's going up in Northern California, you know, that's awesome if you have hundreds of thousands of dollars or investors or whatever to do that. But Zach Evanesh was doing that, you know, with rocks and kegs and park, you know, picnic benches and all kind of shit and homemade sleds in his parents' backyard while also working another full-time job. And you'd be hard pressed to find someone who is more respected in this industry and more respected by his peers than he has. So if you want to make it happen, you can make it happen. Take a lead from those guys, from Zach Evanesh, from Joe DeFranco, you know, fantastic people to model yourself after. You know, you don't have to do the gym the same way as them. You don't have to write programs the same way as them or necessarily even agree with all the stuff they do. But what you can't, you know, fault them for is incredible work ethic, incredible hustle, and just making it happen. So, you know, it was a fun trip. I'm fired up after that trip, to push better content, more content, you know, just be a better all-around coach and businessman. So thank you to Joe and Zach for taking the time now. Thank you for taking the time, you know, every time I'm in New York and New Jersey to hang out, even back to 2008 when I was just some, you know, shot putter from California that Joe didn't know, who asked to come train at the gym one day. Of all the exercises that you viewers and listeners could imagine me doing, I did a 2-rep max cambered bar box squat to a foam box. I was deep into West Side at that time. I mean, the exercise, Joe chose the exercise, but you can probably use that video as some type of blackmail material, you know, when I say something bad about West Side these days, but maybe that's a topic for a different day. So this was another episode, Beers with Chad, drinking what is a quite delicious Inevitable Adventure Double IPA by Stone Brewing Company. It's hard to actually get to drink that much of them because I'm talking constantly, but a very good beer. Go check that one out. It's a limited edition, so it may be tough if you're outside of Southern California to get your hands on it. Upcoming events, we will be in Oakland, California, Friday, April 13th at Max's Gym in CrossFit Oakland for Jug Life Live, a free snatch clinic and then Jug Life Live. Then in August, we'll be in Long Island, August 19th, myself, Max, Dr. Quinn, Dr. Mike, Dr. James, 2018 Juggernaut Performance Summit, covering the 5 pillars of effective training, programming, technique, nutrition, mobility, and recovery. Sign up for that. You can also get some CEUs. If you're interested in online coaching, juggernautcoaching.com. Otherwise, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube. If you enjoy the podcast, go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. We always appreciate that. And till next week, this was Beers with Chad.